Cred că Dumnezeu vrea să ne vorbească în această seară. Cred că Dumnezeu vrea să se uite la nevoile noastre în această seară, cum spunea fratele Semenia. Doamne, modelează-ne Tu. Doamne, fă-ne Tu așa cum Tu vrei să fim în această seară. Vrem să ascultăm de Tine, vrem să ascultăm de vocea Ta. Vrem să ne lăsăm modelați de Tine. Haideți cu toții să ne ridicăm în picioare și să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Faptele Apostolilor. So let's all open the Bibles at the book of Acts, chapter 1. I will read verses 7 and 8. Again, book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen." You may be seated. Ocupați locurile. Christopher Columbus would say in his book of prophecies that the end of the world will come in 1656, and he was wrong. George Williams said that the end of the world will be in the year 1969, and he was wrong as well. Nostradamus predicting the end of the times in July 1999, and he was wrong as well. Isaac Newton, the big physician Isaac Newton, said that the end of the world will come in the year 2000. They are all wrong. I remember when I was little, about 6-7 years old in Romania, I would listen to the choir singing that song, "Curând, curând, acasă vom sosi, și nu vom de aștepta nici anul 2000. Și nici alinier de astre care pierd, ci pe mirele drag să ne ia sus în cer." Vă mai amintiți cântarea asta? And I was thinking, you know, I was a 6 years old, 7 years old, and I was like, wow, year 2000. I was like, I'll be 16 years old then. I'll almost be an adult, but I was like, you know, I'm sure that Jesus will come by that time. And Jesus didn't. God didn't come by that time. You know, here in this verse, the Word of God says that it's not us to know the times. It's not us to care about the end of the times. There's someone else that should care about that. There's someone else that should worry about that, and that's the God Father. You know, don't worry, I'm not going to be talking about the end of the times tonight. I want to talk about something that is going to precede the end of the times. You see, us as Christians, if we would make a list of our prayers, probably one of the most known prayers that we make is, "God, give me. God, give me blessings. God, give me joy. God, give me happiness. God, give me this. God, give me that." And if we would make this list of the prayers, probably the second one on the top of the list would be, "God, give me this, but give it to me now, because I'm impatient and I want it now." Did you ever ask yourself, why do we have espresso machines home? I remember in the 90s, my mom would make coffee and she would put the water on the stove, and you would have to wait about 30 minutes to have the coffee ready. Now we have espresso machines. You wake up in the morning, you don't even need to go to the bathroom because you have the coffee there for you. It's fresh. You can take a sip. You can enjoy it. It sounds crazy. In the year 2014, in the United States of America, for a lot of people, for a lot of families, for a lot of women to spend 4 hours or 5 hours in a kitchen to cook, when you can have the food right there ready for you at your door if you want. We have carpool lanes and fast track lanes because we want to get as fast as possible from point A to point B, from point B to point C. Going online on your computer, on your laptop, on your iPad, and you're trying to download something, and oh my God, the internet is so slow. So slow compared to what? You know, this happened to me, being a Target, you know, and I'm in the line, you know, I'm in a rush, you know, and I'm there, and I see six people in front of me, and suddenly I see another line, and there's just two people, and I just find myself jumping from a line to another in a hope that I will get out the store a little faster, a little quicker, because I'm impatient, because a lot of times we're impatient. You know, an American doctor made a study in 1997. And you take people, blindfold them without any kind of watch, anything with them, and you would say, you know, stay in this room and count until 60 seconds. And when you think there was a minute that passed by, press this button. And after his studies, most of the people would press the button in the second 45. Because those are the people that are impatient. Impatient at work, impatient in the church, impatient with their family, impatient in the business, impatient in the marriage, and guess what? Impatient to die too. Because after this guy's studies, most of them would die between the age of 60 and 65. I have a really good friend of mine, Mark Forster, a co-worker, and he's a man of God. He has an amazing voice. And he would tell me sometimes how he goes to elders' homes and he sings to them. And those people, old people, they ask him and they say, Mark, can you stay one more hour with us? Can you sing a little more? Can you come again next Saturday? You know, because they're not impatient. Us Romanians, we look a lot of times at the Americans and we say, you know, what happens? Like they live so long. The life expectancy age in Romania, it's about 74. In the United States, it's about 78, 79. Because they're not impatient like us so many times. But the truth, the reality is that we have to be on hold. We have to wait sometimes. And that's the title of my message tonight. On hold. În așteptare. On hold. The truth, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes we have to be on hold. Yes, we just have to be on hold. We have to wait. You know, I made an appointment for the doctor in March. And they told me, you got to come back in May. You wait for a job interview. You wait for your wife, for your husband, to be that wife and that husband that she or he promised you in the wedding day that she will be. You wait for your kids to grow, to mature, to finally change. You wait in the airport for the airplane. You go to DMV and you have to stay in line and wait for to get your driver license. You call your bank and after they start talking to you, after they get your all your information, one of the first questions is, sir, ma'am, can I put you on hold? And the reality, brothers and sisters, is that our whole life, it's a waiting process. We have to wait. We have to stay on hold. You know, Jesus goes to the disciples and he tells them in Mark 16, verse 15, go all over the world and spread the word of God to every creature. And the disciples understood with their mind, with their mentality right there, that they need to go all over the world and spread the word of God. And they thought that when the gospel will be spread all over the world, they thought that Jesus will come, Jesus will reign, and they will be his ministers. And Jesus comes and says, wait. I mean, Jesus, I understand you say, wait, if I'm 40, 45 years old and I'm not married, it's okay, I'll wait. I mean, at the end of the time, I mean, you know, it's okay because my marriage is probably not going to have such a big impact on the course of this whole universe. But God, when it's about Jesus Christ, when it's about your son that you gave for everyone. I mean, Jesus, I understand you tell me to wait if I call my bank and I want a loan to buy a house. I don't. I'm just giving an example. And they tell you, you got to wait. You got to wait a month. You got to wait 3 months. Jesus, it's fine. You know, I'll stay in rent. 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years, Jesus. God, don't worry, it's fine. I'll stay all my life in rent. But when it's about those people, when it's about those people to get to know your plan of salvation, when it's about heaven and hell, God, there has to be an emergency. That's something fundamental. That's something urgent that can wait. And God comes and says, you have to wait. Why waiting? Why on hold? Three reasons tonight why we have to be on hold, brothers and sisters. First of all, because we have to fix the primary issues in our lives. We have to fix the primary issues in our lives. Matthew 6:22, 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. You know what happened? The disciples thought that they will go now far away. And Jesus comes and says here in this verse, you have to be a witness first. You shall be a witness first to me in Jerusalem, verse 8. What are you talking about, Jesus? What do you mean, Jerusalem? I mean, you were crucified there. They crucified you there. You know, they killed you there. I mean, it can't be Jerusalem. It's almost like you failed there. They look for us. They want to kill us. They rejected your word. They rejected the gospel. They rejected us. And Jesus comes and says, no, you have to be a witness first in Jerusalem. You know, I have a lot of respect for all the missionaries and all the people that leave their lives behind to do something amazing, something great. But I got to the conclusion that the easiest thing to do is to be a missionary 10,000 miles away from your house. The hardest thing is to be a missionary in your house. The hardest thing is to be a missionary in your home. The hardest thing is to be a missionary in your neighborhood. The hardest thing is to be a missionary at your job. The hardest thing is to be a missionary in your class. The hardest thing is to be a missionary in your family. The hardest thing is to be a missionary in your marriage. To be able to tell your wife, this is what you should change. To be able to tell your husband, this is how you should be. To be able to tell your kids, be like me. Because I'm like Christ. Cum spune Apostolul Pavel, umblați pe urmele mele că și eu umblu pe al lui Hristos. But everyone wants to be a missionary in Asia, in Africa, in Australia. If you ask them in Europe, they want to be missionaries here. But no one wants to be a missionary where he or she failed first. You see, God comes to Moses and says, Moses, take your shoes off. This land where you step right now, it's a holy place. I have a message for you. This man spent, Moses spent 40 years of his life in Egypt, 40 years in Madian, and now God comes and says, you know, you got to go back. Și parcă încearcă, nu, Moise, să aducă toate motivele pentru care nu s-ar duce. Și Domnul îi spune, dar nu-ți fă nicio grijă. Te bâlbâi, nicio problemă, îl ai pe Aron. Nu te cred, ia toiagul în mână, se transformă în șarpe. Și parcă îi zbucnește, nu, Moise, la un moment dat, God, I mean, send whoever you want to send. I mean, don't you get the message? I just don't want to go. And that's when God gets angry. But you know what happens in the end? Moses goes back. He goes back where he failed. He goes back in Egypt. He goes back in Pharaoh's house. A lot of times you want to be missionaries far away. A lot of times you want to do things far away. But you might have failed in your marriage. You might have failed in your relationship. You might have failed with your parents. You might have failed with your kids. You might have failed at work there. This is what we have to start first fixing. That's what we have to fix first. Fixing the primary issues in our lives. You see, that means fixing the priorities of our life. And I want to ask you tonight something. What's the priority of your life? What is it that you spend most of your time on or with? Is it girls' night out? Is it boys' night out? Is it movies? Is it music? Is it family? Is it marriage? Is it your kids? Is it your grandkids? What is it? What is it? Because if you spend one more minute, listen to me, if you spend one more minute a day on Facebook or on Twitter than you're on your relationship with God, then that's your God. Of course, Dumnezeu nu e absurd, dar știe că trebuie să te duci la muncă 8 ore pe zi, știe că trebuie să te duci la școală 8 ore pe zi sau mai mult, dar așa acolo poți să trăiești pentru Hristos, poți să trăiești pentru Hristos. I'm not talking about that. Let me give you an example. Again, I put myself in. I come to church a lot, Sunday, right? Morning, night. We have here 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the night. And I go home, and a lot of times it's 10, 11 o'clock, and I feel tired. I feel like sometimes I'm more tired than if I would work. And I come and say, God, you know what? It was an amazing day. I mean, you know, I heard the word of God. I heard your word. It was worship. There was great worship. There was the presence of the Holy Spirit. There was good music, good prayers. And you know, I mean, not to brag about it, but I feel like I was pretty spiritual today. And maybe I was. And maybe you were too. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? What is that you spend most of your time with? Who is that you're sick? Did you seek more? Because if it's someone else other than God, that means cheating on God, that means idolatry. This is why God, brothers and sisters, God was so mad with the Israelites, and God was so mad with the kings in Israel and most of them in Judah. Because he wants to be the priority of your life, the priority of my life. Amen? Amen. Then two, we have to be on hold sometimes because God wants to see our faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:19, Psalm 111, verse 7, and Psalm 40, verse 17. You know, Jesus comes to the disciples and says, you have to wait. Where? Where? In Jerusalem. Why? So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. How long? He doesn't tell them how long. You know, it's like us so many times, you know. You go through a trial, you go through a sufferance, you go through pain. There was an accident. It happened right here on Ball Road and Magnolia. It happened in Anaheim. It's a fact. It's a reality. I can't change it. Why? God, why did you let that trial in my life? Why did you let that sufferance in my life? Why did you let that pain in my life? I don't know, God, why did you let that happen? But if you are honest with yourself, if you think what you did last week, if you think what you did yesterday, if you think what happened last month in your life, you kind of get an idea, you kind of get a glimpse of why did God let that happen in your life. But God, how long? How long this sufferance, God? How long this trial? How long this problem? Doamne, dar cât mai ține durerea asta? Cât mai ține suferința asta, Doamne? Cât mai ține problema asta în viața mea? Doamne, cât mai ține focul ăsta în viața mea? Și nu-ți spune Dumnezeu cât mai ține. Nu-ți spune. You know, Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And he wants to share it with his family. You know what I was thinking about this week? E o vorbă în România care spune nimeni nu-ți vrea mai binele, mai mult binele în viață decât părinții tăi. Vai cât de adevărată e vorba asta. Nimeni decât oamenii aia care te-au crescut, care te-au așteptat și s-au rugat pentru tine înainte ca să vii în lumea asta. Those people that prayed for you, those people that sacrificed their money, their life, their health, everything for you to succeed. Let me tell you something tonight. Respect them and honor them. Honor your mother and your father. Honor them while you still have them here alive. Because you will, I guarantee you, you will want to honor them later on. And you won't have anyone to honor. You know, I'm sure that Joseph would have loved to share that dream with his mother. But his mother, she wasn't alive. She died when she gave birth to his youngest brother, Benjamin. And he goes there and he shares the dream with his father, with Jacob, and with his brothers. And they rebuke him. They rebuke him. You know, there's another moment, you know, his dad comes and says, you know, you gotta, can you just go bring some food to your brothers? You know, Joseph was a teenager. He could have been like, oh, you know, leave me alone, old man. I mean, I work for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's Saturday night. I want to go hang out with my friends. I want to go have some fun. I want to chill with my buddies. You know, I mean, leave me alone. You need someone to work for you. Go to Home Depot and hire someone if you need someone. But no, Joseph is obedient. Iosif este prototipul lui Hristos. Spune, iată-mă, trimite-mă. And he goes to bring them food and they want to kill him. Încă o dată, prototipul lui Iisus. Pentru că Domnul Iisus a venit în lumea asta. He came in this world to bring the eternal food, to bring the word of God. And we put him on the cross. And then there's another moment with Joseph in jail, you know, with Potiphar's wife, you know, where probably most of the men would have failed, not Joseph. And then the peak of the story. Joseph in jail. Now, let's make a parallel really quick. You know, look at Job, look at Joseph. Two people that went through the biggest trials that we could ever imagine. Job was a man that God said that he had no sin whatsoever through his pain. Dar și Iov, even Job had a moment of weakness. Dacă citiți Iov, capitolul 3, versetul 1, the word of God said that Job cursed the day of his birth. Iov a blestemat ziua în care s-a născut. But Joseph doesn't even say anything. Ești ca și un miel care îl duci la tăiere. That's how faithful Joseph is. You see, God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, you'll have a son. He's 75 years old. Kind of hard to believe, huh? 25 years later, Abraham has a son. But you know what happened? Abraham decided to take the matter in his own hands, and he had Ishmael. And that's why we have what we have today in the Middle East. Saul, the same thing. He was supposed to wait. It wasn't his job to bring the sacrifice. It was Samuel's job to bring the sacrifice. But he decided to take the matter in his own hands. That's what we do so many times. We decide to take the matter in his own hands. We start praying to God, and we pray for a year and a half. If God's not going to respond, we put God on timeout. Time out, God. Now I'll do it my way. So who cares if we live together and we're not even married? So who cares if I had a son, I have a daughter, and, you know, we're not married? So who cares if my parents are embarrassed by what I'm doing? Everyone cares, because your actions are going to have repercussions not only on your life, but on your life of your parents, on your life of on the people from church, on the lives of the people that care for you, that love you. You know, God comes to Abraham and says, do you see the stars in the sky? That's how much your seed is going to be. I mean, did Abraham leave to see these 600,000 men leaving Egypt? Did Abraham leave to see these millions and millions of Israelites? No. Did God's promise fulfilled? Yes. You see, a woman had a husband and a son. She wanted to bring them to church, but they always rejected God completely. And then she had a grandson. He was a little boy. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and fasted and said, God, you know, my heart is so broke because I see my husband and my son, they want to reject you, and they reject you completely. But, you know, I pray that you will at least save this kid's life. And then the kid grew up. He stopped going to the church. The woman died. He wasn't saved. After years and years and years, this child becomes a man. He comes to church. He goes to the pastor and says, Pastor, you know what? I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of my past. I'm sick of my sin. I'm sick of everything that I did, and I want to give my life to Jesus. And he says, okay, that's a great news. But do you have someone in your life that is Christian? What made you do that? And he said, you know, when I was little, I had a grandmother, and my grandmother used to take me to church. Did this woman still live to see her grandchild repented? No. But was her prayer answered? Yes. You see, sometimes God comes to you and comes to me and says, wait. Wait, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean no. Wait means it's not the right time, and I'm not going to do it as the way you want to do it. I'm going to do it when I say, says God, the way I want to do it, because I know, says God, what's best for you. You know, I really hope and I believe that God's going to answer all your prayers tonight. I really want to believe and hope that God will give you an answer for your problems. But even if that's not going to happen while you're still be alive, don't have anger. Don't hate God. Don't rebel. Because if it's not going to happen while you're alive, I guarantee you that it will happen after you die. Hallelujah. It will happen after you die. You see, I do believe that God loved Solomon just as much as he loved David. And he gave him everything. Wisdom, money, absolutely everything. But the problem is that Solomon started well and he finished bad. At the end of his life, he started going and seeking other idols. The idols of his many and many wives, probably around 1,000 wives. Solomon didn't have 1,000 wives because he had some sexual desires, as a lot of other people think. No, Solomon had a lot of wives because having a lot of wives and getting to marry with a lot of other kings' daughters would be ways of living in peace and having a lot of political alliances at that time. But God was so angry. God was so mad with the fact that Solomon starts seeking other idols. But you know what happens? 1 împărați 11 cu 12. Vine și spune lui Solomon, fiindcă ai făcut așa și n-ai păzit legământul meu și legile mele, voi rupe împărăția de la tine și o voi da slujitorului tău. Însă n-am să fac lucrul acesta în timpul vieții tale. De ce? Din pricina tatălui tău, David. Din mâna fiului tău voi rupe. Și după aceea avem Roboam, Ieroboam, Israel și Iuda. N-am să fac lucrul acesta în timpul vieții tale din pricina tatălui tău, David. Pentru că eu i-am promis ceva lui David și eu obțin cuvântul. David wasn't alive, David was dead. But God said, you know, my word is straight. Chiar dacă noi, frați și surori, suntem de foarte multe ori necredincioși, Dumnezeu rămâne credincios cu noi, pentru că El nu-și poate nega sfințenia Lui, El nu-și poate nega cuvântul Lui, El nu-și poate nega dreptatea Lui, El nu-și poate nega desăvârșirea Lui. El rămâne credincios. Dar vrea ca și tu și cu mine să fim credincioși în această seară. He wants us to wait. He wants us to become faithful. Amen. And then third of all, sometimes we have to wait because God wants to purify us. Genesis 1, verse 7, 2 Samuel 22, 21, and Micah 6, 11. You know, Jesus says to the disciples, go all over the world and spread the word of God. And I mean, you'd believe Jesus would kind of think about all these dangers, right? I mean, don't you think that they would end up like you? I mean, don't you think that they could be smashed by wild animals? Don't you think that they could end up in prison? Don't you think that they could end up being killed? Don't you think about a lot of dangers? Doamne, nu te gândi la o grămadă de pericole pe care expui pe ucenicii ăștia ai tăi? Yes, Jesus thinks about the danger, but the danger that Jesus thinks of is pride. Okay, Peter, a fisherman, un pescar, un om fără școală, fără educație, fără teologie, and he goes and he preaches the word of God the first time in his life. I remember when I preached the first time in my life, my knees were shaking. Of course, you guys probably didn't see, but my knees were shaking, you know. Aveam emoții. And this fisherman, Peter, he's preaching the word of God the first time in his life. 3,000 people repent. 3,000 de oameni se pocăiesc. I mean, don't you think that the devil would come to him and whisper him a little bit of pride, saying, hey, Peter, hey, man. Hey man, 3,000 men? I mean, 3,000 from one shot, man. I mean, in 6 months, you're going to make Jesus forgotten, man. You know, let me tell you something tonight, and be very careful to what I'm saying right now. You might be a member of this church. You might listen to us on the internet. You might be a pastor. You might be an usher. You might be singing in choir. You might, I don't know, or you might not do anything. You might be just a simple member in the church. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who I am. And you might try to live godly. You might try to stay away from the sin. You might try to obey God's commandments. You might try to not backstab, not drink alcohol, not smoke, not talk dirty, not watch dirty things. And you might try to live a godly life. But there's something, there's a sin. There's something that comes to us without even noticing. Pride, brothers and sisters, comes to us without even noticing. We feel like we're good. We feel like we're fine and we're not. We're just not. See, in 2006, when I got baptized in water, someone came to me and said, do you have the Holy Spirit? And I said, what do you mean? He's like, do you speak in tongues? And I didn't at that time. And I said, no. You don't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're not even, you shouldn't even call yourself a Pentecostal. I mean, you should see me when I speak in tongues. Everyone in the church can see. I'm full of the Spirit. The heaven opens. Full of the Spirit. Screaming. So everyone around you, around him is going to see how full of the Spirit he is. But if you go ask the wife, she's going to tell you how full of the Spirit he is. If you go ask the kids home, they will tell you as well. And then we get back to the first question of tonight. God give me. God give me. God says what? God give me. Why should I give you? God, if you give me, if I win at the lottery, I'll give half of it to the church, a quarter to the poor people, and I'll keep a quarter for myself. And God comes and says, give now from your small salary. Păi dacă nu poți să fii credincios în lucrurile mici, cum vei putea fi credincios în lucrurile mari? You know, someone told me one time, I was easy for Rick Warren, you know, when he sold that book, The Purpose of Driven Life, and he made, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars. And this man decided to give all his salary of 25 years as a pastor, he decided to give it to the church, and him and his wife decided to live on a 10% income and give 90%. And he says, oh, it was easy. I mean, it was very easy. Come on. I mean, when you make so many hundreds of millions of dollars, what is that? It's nothing. I said, no, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Because you know what happens? It's our human nature. As more and more and more as we gain, we get more and more and more and more greedy. It's just the reality. You know, Jesus tells the disciples, you have to wait. Why? So you can depend on me. He comes to you. He comes to me tonight and says, you have to wait because I want to see your faithfulness. You have to wait because I want you to depend on me. You know, I want to end up with an illustration. A man was called for a job in financing. And they told him, you know, you got to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning. The man is there at 5 o'clock in the morning. The secretary says, you know what, the manager that will interview you, he's not here. But, you know, you can wait in the hallway. You can have some coffee, you know, just feel free to hang out here. And the guy has some coffee, you know, it's 5:15, 5:30, 6, 6:30, 7 o'clock. He's like, okay, I waited for 2 hours, but what am I going to do now? I mean, I woke up anyway at 4, so I might as well just wait. Finally, at 8 o'clock, the manager comes. He takes him and he says, you know, come in my office, you know. He introduces himself and he goes, you know, I have a question for you. Yes, what's 2 times 2? The man looks at him and says, in his mind, he says, you know what, the first thought that went through my mind was like, you know, I should just leave. I mean, this guy's making a fool of me. I mean, I waited here for 3 hours. And then you come here and you ask me what's 2 times 2, like a 5-year-old question. You know, this is a job where you require a bachelor degree in financing, and you ask me what's 2 times 2? But he said, I needed a job. I wanted this job. And I waited so long. And, you know, I tried to hold myself together. And I said, it's 4, sir. He looks at him and says, yes, you're right. It's 4. And guess what? What? You got the job. He's like, I was shocked. I was numb. I didn't know what to say. And after I kind of got together a little bit, I said, sir, if you don't mind, why did you make me wait here 3 hours? Because I wanted to see if you're patient or not. Oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. But now that I got the job, I just want to ask you one quick question. Yes, why did you ask me what's 2 times 2? Because I wanted to see if you have any kind of pride in you. If you would have had a little bit of pride in you, the first thing that you would have done would have been to just leave this place. But you showed me that you have no pride. And in this place, we need people that are humble and people that are patient. This is, brothers and sisters, what God needs in His church. This is what God needs in His family. God needs people that are patient and people that are humble. So on hold, church. Yes, on hold. on hold. So we can find the primary issues in your life. On hold so we can fix the priority of your life. You know, God comes to you, my dear brother and sister. God comes to me and says, you know what? I want to be the priority of your life. I want to be number one in your life. I don't want you to give me 50%. I don't want you to give me 90%. Hey, guess what? I don't want you to give me 99%. I am a jealous God and I want to be number one in your life. On hold. On hold. Because God wants to see our faithfulness. You know what happened? God didn't come to me when I was born in 1984 saying, hey, Abel, welcome on earth. I love you. I'll see you back in 22 years. He didn't come to me when I was 22 years old. And I got baptized and I said, Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I want you to take my heart now. He didn't come to me saying, hey, I love you and I'll see you when you die. No. He is with me every day of my life. He walks with me every day of my life. He protects me every day. He protects you every day. He fills you up with the Holy Spirit. He fills me up with the Holy Spirit. He walks with me. He is with me. He is in me. He is within me. And guess what? Not only that, but He gave His only Son. God gave Jesus Christ for me and for you. Hallelujah. God doesn't want just some tears. God doesn't want just some emotions. God doesn't want just some songs. God doesn't want just some prayers. God doesn't want just some hour of worship or hour of preaching. God doesn't want just some Sunday. God wants faithfulness. God wants practical faithfulness. God wants you and wants me every day to walk with Him, every day to be with Him. God wants to be assured that you will do it practically, that He will show it to Him practically, because He did it practically. He gave His only Son for me and for you. Amen. Amen to that. And then third of all, on hold so God can purify us. You see, when you say, God, you are number one in my life. When you say, God, take control over my life now. When you say, God, everything that I have, I give it to you. God, you are the priority of my life. Then you come and say, I am on hold, but God, you know what? I want to show you to you practically every day of my life that you really are number one. And you show it to Him practically. You show your faithfulness in a real practical way. Then comes the third step. He comes to you and comes to me and says, hey, Abel, hey, Juan, hey, Maria, hey, Daniel, hey, David, hey, come here. Come here because now I want to mold you. Now I want to transform you. Now I want to give you another identity. Now I want to give you another form. Now I want to give you another face. Now I want to give you another heart. Now I want to give you another conception. Now I want to make you someone else. Now I want to transform you. Now I want to change you. You know what's my dream? My dream is to have God right here. To have God right here and all of us to be right here in a line and to say, God, you know what? We are ready. God, we are on hold. We are on hold for you. And we want to tell you that we did the first step, that you are the priority of our life. We want to tell you that we want to show it to you every day practically that we are faithful. And God, now we're ready for you. We're ready for you to pour the Holy Spirit in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Slava ție, Doamne. Și nu pot decât să închei cu aceste versete care îmi cuprind inima. În Psalmul 139, versetele 23 și 24. Cercetează-mă, Dumnezeule, și cunoaște-mi inima. Încearcă-mă și cunoaște-mi gândurile. Vezi dacă sunt pe o cale rea și du-mă și du-ne pe calea veșniciei. Amin.